Well, as we know, St. Paul spends a lot of time in the New Testament. He spends a lot of time and effort writing and preaching against circumcision. The book of Galatians could really be summed up with, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but rather a new creation. But this topic seemed to dominate the Church of the Apostles. It even became a major topic in the first apostolic council that we read about in Acts 15. Well, all of this starts in Genesis chapter 17. God had commanded this sign of the covenant. He said to Abraham, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised of the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." So when you read that, it doesn't sound like there are any loopholes. If you're to be a child of God, you must be circumcised. If you're going to be in the community, you have to abide by the covenant. Because circumcision was the defining factor of who was in and who was out. It was a physical removing of the flesh with pain and blood. It's definitely not something that could be covered up or faked. It forever marked you as one of us. Now, none of the other nations in the world were doing this. So it separated Abraham and his descendants from them as God's chosen people. Why, then, was circumcision such a controversy after Jesus ascended into heaven? Why did it cause division in the church? I mean, didn't the Lord himself submit to circumcision? Well, here's the point. Just like the sacrificial system had been mandated by God as a type or picture of what was to come, a type of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, so also the covenant of circumcision was a picture or type of Jesus subjecting himself to the entire law. Paul writes, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." Circumcision places one under the entire law, binding him to keep it or die. When a Jewish boy was circumcised, he had now a physical confessional mirror telling him that he was a sinner in need of God's mercy, because he wasn't able to keep the law that he was bound to in the flesh. Jesus' circumcision at 8 days old is the fulfillment of the Old Testament covenant, because for the first time now, there is a boy who is bound to the law and fulfills it. At 8 days old, Jesus shed blood under the law and he remains sinless. He subjects himself to the entire law to keep it, every word of it. Christ was not subjected to the law like everyone else who preceded him because of his person. Since he was the Lord of the law, according to his divine nature, and according to his human nature, conceived without sin by the Holy Spirit, he was already without sin, and therefore he was not subjected in any external way to the law. But the fact is, he placed himself under the law through circumcision for your sake, not his own, so that he might be able to redeem you from under the curse of the law. I mean, that's why Christ was born and became man. In the flesh, he shed his blood, both at the time of his suffering and death, but also here in his circumcision, so that by the shedding of blood, the entire body of the human race could be served and benefited. What happens to Christ happens to the church. Therefore, his circumcision is able to give benefits to the whole body, the church. And just like a man can't be circumcised twice, so everyone inside the body of Christ is already circumcised through Christ, and you're not bound to be circumcised in the flesh. Jesus was born for your good and suffered for your good. He came to take upon himself the burden of the law as your substitute, for circumcision was a command of God. And as a substitute, he wanted to step into your place under the burden of the law and remove the punishment from you forever. Now, neither circumcision nor the curse of the law are placed on your shoulders, because he bore both in his flesh. St. Paul says in Colossians 2, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh." How? By the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You have been buried with him in baptism. You have been clothed with him. His name has been placed upon you, for he is your Lord. You have been made alive and given a new birth. Circumcision has no further mandate in the Christian church, just like animal sacrifices now have no place here. Christ is the end and the fulfillment of the law. You are released from the curse of the law by your Lord and Savior. And in turn, he gives you his name. And he lives up to his name, Jesus, for he has saved his people from their sins. His name, again, is Jesus, and he has rescued you from being under the law. And I can't think of a better way to begin this new year than by hearing again that he is your Lord and Savior, that he was even circumcised and named for you, that you are washed clean in his blood and are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.